This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.
Sports Radio 610 presents live from the LPGA Chevron Championship. It's In the Loop with John Lopez and Landry Locker.
All right, it finally happened. I can't believe it. It only took damn near a month. Nick Caserio spoke on Stephon Diggs. Still haven't heard from the man himself. Apparently, that's something that Nick Caserio is above. Everyone else might not be, but he's above. Unless it's Danielle Hunter and Joe Mixon, but I'm not bitter about it at all. I just, you know, like to hear from a guy that got everyone excited.
Not bitter at all.
Yeah, I'm good. Here is Nick Caserio being asked about Stephon Diggs. Took 15 minutes, but he was asked about Stephon Diggs and had interesting back and forth about the newest Texans receiver. Here's what Nick Caserio had to say, and you might have more questions about the move now than you did before.
What goes into a discussion with another team trading for a player like Stephon Diggs? How do you guys kind of arrive at that decision?
Yeah, Cody, I'd say I talked to a lot of different teams at different points of the year. So I think we're always open-minded and just trying to look at opportunities that may or may not exist. I would say that was something like I don't think we were really anticipating, but you know, I think I had some conversations at different points, and ultimately it was able to come to fruition, and we felt that, you know, it made sense for us to pursue. So I'd say we talked to a lot of teams about a lot of different things at different points, you know, hopefully, you know, Steph can come in here, and Steph's been a productive player, so hopefully come in here and help our team in some capacity.
Why do you think that he's a good fit? You talk about noise outside. There is a label, or people say, oh, he's a diva. And the fact that we haven't heard from Stephon yet, is that a Stephon thing, or is that a football ops thing?
Yeah, number one, I don't even know what that definition means. So if someone can define that for me, again, like, we're not worried about, you know, again, we're worried about what a player does when he walks in our building. So we do our research. We talk to our players. We talk to other players all the time. We talk to our players, you know, as an example, like a lot of the guys are in the draft. You know, we talk to those players. Hey, what are your thoughts about so-and-so? What is your experience with him? So, and we do our research, and then ultimately, D'Amico and I sit and talk, and if we feel comfortable with the decision, then we go ahead and make the decision. Candidly, I think it's unfair to label anybody until they actually have an opportunity to walk in the building. Again, our environment's different than another environment, so we really don't know what's going on in 31 other buildings. We know what's going on in our building, so excited to have stuff here, and, you know, when he gets here, I mean, certainly he's, you know, he'll be available, you know, maybe ample time for you all to visit with him. So like, we're not, you know, sign a free agent, you know, bring a jersey up here and, like, do a big powwow. Like, that's not how we operate. Like, we don't believe in that. Other teams choose to do it differently. Excited to have stuff here, and hopefully he can add to our team.
All right, there you go. That's Nick Caserio. So we don't do the whole powwow thing, except when we do. I think that's a little bit dramatic. The fact that he admitted that it wasn't something that they thought was a possibility with Diggs, to me, it makes me wonder. So was it something that you knew was a possibility before you tried to trade for Keenan Allen, or was it something that you perhaps aggressively pursued after? That would be the question that I have, you know, because naturally you think, okay, they didn't get Allen, so then they tried to get Diggs. Did they perhaps just miss on Allen and then say, you know what? What about Diggs? Like, what if Diggs could be a thing? Lot to unpack there with the Diggs thing, but it does seem like, and the other thing that Caserio said was, you know, we're not other organizations, which that used to be a bad thing. That there's been a complete transformation. premature or appropriate or not, where now that's a good thing that you're not other organizations.
Yeah, so the way I try to parse through this is to just look at, try to differentiate the situations that both Keenan Allen and Stephon Diggs were in respectively. Now, we know if we followed the offseason, followed the NFL offseason, you know that the Chargers and the Bills alike have both had to make some tough decisions in terms of salary cap casualties and that sort of thing. Had to get rid of some players that have been there for a long time. But with Stephon Diggs, there was that added element of straight up not wanting to be there. And so I wonder, like, how much that actually had to do with their interest in him. But say, like, I don't know. At the time, I'm thinking the Bills have less of a motive to get rid of Stephon Diggs than, say, the Chargers, who are really up against the cap, had to get rid of Keenan Allen. And it's sort of just different reasons why the guy is going to move, even though both of them are having to make business decisions. You've got that added
element.
The
Diggs thing got pretty bad, though.
It got bad, and so that's why you were able to come back to it. Like, maybe Keenan Allen made the most sense in the moment, but, hey, in the back end here, like, in any other scenario, if it wasn't bad there, Diggs would still be there. As opposed to with Keenan Allen, you knew he wasn't going to be there.
The thing with the Keenan Allen is there's a couple things. First of all, you would have had him for multiple years because you get the extension, and they were going to try to figure that out. But I don't know that he generates the excitement. And I don't know if excitement's necessarily a good thing. I don't know how that correlates on the field. But a Keenan Allen move is not going to generate – it's not going to be as polarizing of a move as Stephon Diggs.
Yeah.
I don't think.
Yeah, no, it's not. It's not now. It could be. I think it's debatable on, like, I think Stephon Diggs obviously has been the better player in recent years, but it's debatable on which one, like,
fits.
Necessarily fits the best or has the greatest impact.
Because Keenan's your slot guy.
Yeah.
Like, you got the slot on lock with Keenan, assuming that he's healthy, which is, like, maybe a dangerous assumption more times than not.
Yeah, and so I think you could have that conversation, but to me, it definitely seems like, and it's obvious, you know, the Stephon Diggs thing was a pivot. It was more so of, hey, we've made our cap casualties. We've already kind of released our players, but we're not necessarily getting rid of Stephon Diggs because he's expensive the way the Chargers are getting rid of Keenan Allen because he's expensive. We're getting rid of Stephon Diggs because this thing has run its course. And so the Texans were able to benefit from that kind of glitch in the matrix.
We'll hear what the Bills had to say, the GM, the coach, the quarterback, about Stephon Diggs. We'll hear that at 11:35 when we play the hits. But it was nice to hear from old Casario talking about Stephon Diggs. I look forward to hearing from Stephon Diggs. I know that's not something that Nick does, and that, you know, Hardo Nick doesn't want to make that a priority, but yeah, it'll be nice for the fans to be able to hear from Stephon Diggs. It'd be nice for us to hear from Stephon Diggs sooner rather than later. But Hardo Nick isn't really down with that right now.
And that's just another one. I don't know what a diva receiver is.
He knows that. You're the smartest guys in town. You know what a diva is.
Pretending like it's not a little weird that a player of Stephon Diggs' caliber being on the team this long, if you go back to when the trade was reported, when they actually confirm it themselves, they got him in the locker room, and the gap between then and now, and it keeps extending, that's not weird. Pretending like that. Come on, Nick. You know better.
I'm worried about Diggs gaining weight here, though.
Oh, man.
He is very, very, very public about his cheap meals, and you come to H-Town, man.
Food scene's going to be lit.
Yeah, the food scene's lit, and it's not like Buffalo where – I know Buffalo's known for those wings, and I actually think Buffalo's kind of an underrated eating city. But a lot of times when it's that cold, you just don't want to leave the house, man.
Yeah.
Like, you don't want to leave the house. But in Houston, 12 months out of the year, you can leave the house. You can get you a quick bite. And I'm kind of worried about Diggs putting on that weight. He's not used to it. It might be a little bit of a culture shock for him.
Yeah, the weather is better, I know for sure. I've only been to Buffalo once when I was a kid, but I'm just imagining – that the food scene.
Oh, he's going to die at camp, though.
Like, oh, yeah.
The heat.
Poor guy.
From Buffalo to here, he's going to. And from Minnesota to Buffalo to here.
He's going to at least get vet treatment.
Oh, he is going to. Man, my man is going to be. He might have a water boy, water girl, whatever, following him around. Because you go from Minnesota to Buffalo, and I don't even know which is more miserable. And then you come down here, the heat, because I don't mind the heat, but I'm from here. he is going to be in a weird spot.
And we're also just out there sitting in it or stay like standing in the heat. He's going to be out there actually working. I don't know, man. Hey, look, it's going to build some character. If you're worried about Stephon Diggs' character, and I'm not saying that I am, but if you are, that damn heated training camp going to build some character.
Oh, it's going to kick him. Because even the kids from Ohio and the kids from L.A. and the kids from that come from Alabama to here are like, man, this is different. Okay, Buffalo, Minnesota here, that's going to be wild. But his winners are going to be so much more enjoyable.
Yeah.
It'll all be worth it.
Oh, yeah.
It's a give or take. But it's and I would still rather have that than that. But his winners where you have to snowplow. When's the last time you had to use the thing to get the ice off the windshield?
It's been a while. It's been a while. I mean, you can go outside, read a book on your porch on Christmas morning if you want to. Like, it's...
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.
When's the last time you read a book on your porch?
On my porch has been a while. Not on the porch, but like on planes and stuff, you know? I mean, all of it's on your phone now anyway, you know?
You read books on the phone? That doesn't hit.
I do everything. You know what?
Can you read a book on an iPad? It doesn't hit.
It's funny that you ask. I will read long articles on my phone, and I will watch movies on my phone.
That's different.
But I do not read books on the phone.
I see people reading books on the tablet, and I'm like, man, I don't know about that. That just doesn't feel right to me.
Yeah, no, I do need to flip the page.
Now, I am talking like I'm reading a lot of books, so maybe I'm no expert on this, but it just I feel like when you have the book in your hand, you're flipping the page, sometimes you got to lick your finger and the page, the iPad just scroll down, I don't feel like I'm making progress. There's nothing like the progress where you either got to bunny ear the page or you're throwing the bookmark in there.
Yeah.
Remember when you used to go to the library as a kid and they would have the bookmarks at the end?
That used to be
bookmark?
The bookmarks, and even when I was younger when we used to have to do the book covers. Those are some of my favorite things.
And you feel like you're getting over because it's free and you just throw the bookmark in the book.
Yeah.
So you try to take two or something like that. That's the first time. Like that's when like free stuff, people just love free stuff. The bookmark, you really felt like you were getting over kind of a little bit.
It's the last book you read.
Last book I read? Damn. Wife's going to be mad. I'm like, I got like 30 pages left, but there was like a marriage book, like religion, like marriage type.
Those are good to do early on in the marriage and everything. Mine is probably, see, the 7 days at Memorial or 7 days. I should have the title down, but it's by Sherry Fink. 7 days at Memorial. It's about the hospital and medical situation kind of breaking down as Hurricane Katrina was hitting.
It's
pretty intense.
I read both of Gucci Mane's books in like a day. Like when I read, it's like a day. There's probably a book that I have that I've read because when I'm reading it, I'm just sitting, like, especially if you're going to the pool or something, you just lay down,
yeah,
read the book.
Not a bad thing. But yeah,
Stephon
Diggs can do that. How about Nick Caserio acting like he didn't know what this was? Another Hardo thing he did where he's like, I don't know what big names are. Have we not spelled that out though?
Come on, brother.
That's been spelled out multiple times in multiple outlets. You're the first team, correct me if I'm wrong on this, Landry.
Yeah.
First team in the offseason to sign a double-digit sack guy, 1,000-yard rusher, or to acquire.
Yeah.
Double-digit sack guy, 1,000-yard rusher, and 1,000-yard receiver.
But it is a weird question to ask.
It is.
Like, in fairness, like, big.
Maybe
it could have been said, like, you've gotten high money. You've brought in high money, larger contract guys.
Caliber.
Yeah, big names, though, is kind of a weird way to ask Caserio.
Maybe
and, of course, he's going to hang his hat on Devin Singletary. And it's like, was he a big enough name? I don't know. Maybe, I guess. I mean, or did that? Does that say more about Pierce not working? I don't know.
Yeah,
but
did they think he was a big name? Did they pay him $4 million?
It was. I mean, $4.5 million.
I don't know. Yeah, did they think he was a big name? Yeah. No, they didn't pay him.
I mean, when he gets asked big names, it's like, okay, I don't want to dismiss the smaller guys, because I do think he did a good job there, but
yeah.
I think big names is just a weird way to ask a GM that question. Yeah, but Diva, you know what Diva means. Come on, brother.
Yeah, you definitely know what Diva means.
You brought in Ocho Cinco and Randy Moss and Antonio Brown in New England.
Yeah.
Like, you know damn well what a Diva receiver is. And you know what happens when that type of risk goes right, Randy Moss, and you know what happens when that type of risk goes wrong, Antonio Brown and Chad Ocho Cinco.
Dude, he was a wide receiver coach for a short time.
He coached Randy Moss.
He was the wide
receiver. The year that Randy Moss came with Welker.
There you go. We talk a lot about him being, you know, Bill Belichick's, you know, right-hand man or whatever the case, and his work in the front, but he actually coached the wide receivers, like you mentioned, Randy Moss himself.
I thought that was a nice little nug from Aaron Wilson yesterday. I talked to Aaron about this. I guess Aaron said he went to, and it kind of went under the radar, but I guess when Aaron was covering the Ravens,
yeah,
there was a pro day with Stephon Diggs, and the quarterback that was supposed to throw, I guess he got a real job or something. Like, he got a real job. I think this is how Aaron was telling the story. He got a real job, and then he didn't show up to the pro day or whatever. So then Caserio was throwing the ball to Diggs. And I also thought it was really cool how Caserio said yesterday, and I think this is actually kind of weird. It's not weird. It's fascinating to me that Caserio said that that interaction with Diggs, where he was throwing to him, talking to him, and he ended up being a fifth-round pick, so it's not like he was throwing to, like, Marvin Harrison Jr.
Right.
But he said that interaction that he had with Diggs back then in at College Park, Maryland, or whatever, was more valuable than any interaction since then. And I don't know if that means information since then. And yeah. I don't know if he's just talking about, like, information – when it comes to the draft, because he was kind of mixing stuff, or information that he's gotten about Stephon Diggs since then.
Yeah.
That's what – maybe it was just all mixing in, but I thought that was interesting and fascinating.
So I'll take a swing at this. It sounds to me like he's saying my own personal interaction and
– with Diggs.
With Diggs, and my reaction to that interaction, yeah, with Diggs matters more to me than what – I mean, they started off by saying the outside noise doesn't matter and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
That's him saying
– I have my own personal interaction, and so, that's more valuable than what Buffalo says or Minnesota says.
Or what the media says or anything like that. Whatever the outside perception is, the narrative is on Stephon Diggs. I actually got to meet the guy, so yeah, I have an impression on him of him myself.
And you got to meet him, and you got to kind of see what he was about, where he comes from and all that, like his core, like as a 21-year-old, 22-year-old young man out there trying to make it, and you're trying to figure out about him. Like, there's some people that I know, I don't know, like you meet them a long time ago, whether it's in school or something, and then 8-10 years go by and you hear stuff about them, and maybe they've made a lot of mistakes, but when you come across them, you're, yeah, like, and I'm not saying that Stephon Diggs has made, like, any major mistakes, but you kind of go back to what your interaction was, and
right,
that's kind of you kind of start there and then fill, yeah, in the rest. Yeah.
And he might not know what. I'll just give him the benefit of the doubt and say, what if he doesn't know what the meaning of a diva wide receiver is? He does know ego. He does know what ego looks like. If he doesn't want to call it diva, there's definitely ego in that room, and he should know it firsthand. And look, Cal McNair himself acknowledged that there is an element of that, and that you should want that. And I think it's actually the opposite of what Nick said. Him not knowing, he knows probably better than most how you can go from being whatever his impression was of Stephon Diggs when he first met him to the impression that it is of the public of he's this diva wide receiver. What the in-between is of the guy that I met and, like, what an actual competitor looks like in a wide receiver room. And that's probably what the situation
is. We're live at the LPGA Chevron Championship, the 53rd edition, at the club at Carlton Woods. A lot of good action going on. We're enjoying the heck out of ourselves. You mentioned Cal McNair.
Yeah.
Coming up, another leak, and how Cal McNair is basically a Sports Illustrated swimsuit model. A busy day ahead for Cal next. I got the internet going nuts. Internet going nuts here on In the Loop Sports Radio 610. Landry Locker, B. Scott. We are live out here at the LPGA Chevron Championship. Hell of a view, hell of a vibe. come by, say hi. $35 gets you in. Kids get in free. One of the new big events, the Women's Masters, if you will, out here at the club at Carlton Woods. Nick Caserio yesterday, he was asked about the uniforms. My gosh, we had one leak from the model.
You get a leak.
We had another leak from some guy in a warehouse. And then Antonio Brown has now leaked the uniforms, and there's been more leaking going on, and the internet is going nuts. Here was Nick Caserio talking about the uniforms.
I don't think I've sort of seen them. So I would say I'm probably not the person to talk about relative to fashion. You guys have seen how I dress. So, but no, I think it's, you know, it's great for the fans. So, I mean, again, there's a lot of other people that have talked about the uniforms. I'll let them kind of handle it. So, I mean, I'm more worried about how well they play than how well they look on a field. So, but I'm sure you guys can have some fun with that next week. So, all right.
All right, thanks.
All right, Hardo.
He is speaking to some inner Hardos in the fan base, though. You do have, like, this uniform thing is clearly a big deal to all of us.
But
you got those that corner of people that are like, who cares about the uniform?
It's all about if they win. It's all about wins. I don't care as long as they perform on the field.
Nick is speaking to the heart of those losers.
But here's my thing, and that's pretty rude calling them losers, Scott. That's some of our listeners,
kind of a sideswipe.
But here's the thing. I think even the people that were excited about this, a lot of them are getting kind of worn out. I mean, because it's been hyped up for a year. I'm not questioning the hard work and all that, but I mean they've gassed this up like crazy, and now here we are. There's been one leak, two leak, and now perhaps the biggest leak of all. I'm not saying, but I'm just saying.
It's like a Bucky's bathroom up in that bad boy.
And I got to think Cal McNair, I think Cal McNair might have a schedule today like Heidi Klum. Because anytime any of these leaks happen, Cal McNair either has to go to Reddit. Yesterday he had to take a dang picture in front of his house or whatever. Hell, Cal McNair might be going through a 12-hour photo shoot at this point, Fig. I mean, I think at noon, I think he's got to get the Reds, Reds. Then he's got to go with the color rush. Then he's got to address these home jerseys. Like, Cal McNair's got a busy day. I wonder how much makeup and all that they're going to do. And I also wonder, Cal's actually come out looking good in this, but at what point does it kind of become annoying? He's going to be on the show, by the way, Tuesday at 11. At what point is it like, man, this is a lot of extra stuff that I really just don't want to partake in?
I think as long as there
he's looking good?
Yeah, as long as people are eating the cheese and he ends up looking good in the end of it, I think that it works out. I'm curious on which digital platform will be next to compensate for the next leak. You know, it was Reddit the first time, drops the tweet. Like, is it Instagram? Is it... You know, is it
how about CTE ESPN getting it? And that's what it's called. I didn't make that up. Antonio Brown putting it up. Now, I'm not saying whether these are the ones that I've seen or not. I can say they look familiar.
They're out there.
And I can say this other one looks a little bit familiar. I'm not saying whether it's, you know, that, but it does look somewhat familiar. And quite frankly, those road, I mean, that's what we've already seen.
Yeah, the road,
the road ones that we've already seen, that looks like that, and that helmet looks like that too. So
yeah,
they've at least gotten two things right. Yeah. Interesting.
Yeah, if you figure if they got some of the right information, where are they getting? Where would they get the wrong information?
Figgy, do you have any opinions on these leaks? You want to just talk about the ones that are the leaks that are out there? We won't say whether they are or aren't the real uniforms, but in a hypothetical world, if these leaks are real, what are your thoughts on these unis?
Me, I mean, I've been saying it the whole time. I think it hits different if you see a player in it, man, because we seen how it went when the original leak came out, and it didn't look right, but when they posted the picture with the players, it looked better.
Yeah, so, I'll say that, but I will say
this. I can't look at a rough draft, a sheet of paper of a rough draft and say, yeah, that's it or that's
yeah.
not it.
Well, I'll look at the rough draft and I'll just say a couple of things. I agree with you on that. These home jerseys, they might as well, the logo might as well be Spider-Man pointing at each other. And maybe the old Spider-Man pointing at the other one with the thumbs down. These in this hypothetical world, these leaked ones, and it looks like there's like a H-Town blue Nike check for what? Like, what are we doing there? The Rhodes, I like those. They look good on Tank Dell and Nico Collins. These Reds, if these are real, if these Antonio Brown leaks are real, why'd we get rid of the normal red helmet? I mean, horns are cool and stuff, but why would we have gotten rid of the normal red helmet? I actually thought that should have been the main helmet.
Why isn't it?
Yeah, I actually thought that should have been the main helmet.
Yeah.
With even the other uniforms. Like, imagine the red uniform
with that
on the home or the away. I thought that would have been sick. The horn, that's a lot. And then this H-Town blue helmet, and, I mean, let's put it this way. I think a lot of people are thinking that's blue. That color looks a little bit different than the home one to me, and it looks a little bit different than the blue on the roads. I think that'll be popular. I think it's cool to wear. I don't know that this team needs, but I don't know that if these are real, if Antonio Brown, and does he have a connection at Nike? What was his shoe deal in the NFL?
Ah.
Oh, okay. Okay. Yeah. All right. But. I don't know, man. I mean, we'll see. It'll be fun. The gear's going to be sick, though. I will say that gear's going to be sick.
But my thing is, again, what if this was the will of the people? And they talked about this in the beginning of, like, not really. Like, they felt like they
needed. You can't please everyone.
They felt like they needed to change their uniforms. But yeah. I never got the sense, at least from, like, the McNairs, that they felt like they wanted to change the uniforms, per se. I think internally they actually liked the uniforms that they always had. Bob specifically, the late Bob McNair, liked their uniforms, was a big fan of their style back in the day. And I think they wanted to kind of stay true to him a little bit, but also placate the public that wanted some change, and they tried to have it both ways. And like you said, when you try to have it both ways, I feel like maybe it's even more difficult to please everyone.
Well, salute to them, man. Like, salute to them for changing, because I think it's good to be open-minded in that area. I would say this. They need to approach the uniforms with the complete opposite. Whatever the minimum is to change, just keep it changing. Keep it coming through. Hell, let's call them the Houston Oregon Duck Texans from now on when it comes to changing the uniforms. Internet going nuts out here live at the Chevron Championship.
It was a miscalculation to not notice. Once they put out those the red helmets that we have seen them play in over the last, you know, a couple of years or so,
I've never
not understand the popularity of those
helmets.
I've
never seen anyone say anything bad about those.
Oh, they were I thought they were universally appreciated and loved.
That. The one thing that I think everyone agreed on, that red helmet, the one that they've been wearing lately, should have never gone anywhere.
Yeah.
Internet going nuts.
I got the internet going nuts.
I'll be honest. I don't know who the hell this guy is. I've seen a lot of stories on him. He seems to be a little bit nuts. Ryan Garcia, who is a boxer, I guess. He's going to have a pay-per-view fight this week. He had the internet going nuts yesterday. This is just some snippets from his press conference. This guy's lost it.
Thank you, the Lord Jesus Christ, the King of Kings, Lord of Lords. Thank you, Jesus. 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 Jesus is King, King of Kings, King of Kings. No, okay. He is the King of Kings. Jesus is the one above all. Okay. How you guys doing? What do you guys want me to say? I've already said everything. I mean, what do you want me to do? I've already done it all. I've already said it all. I've done it all. And now I'm just ready to kick ass. I'm going there and just f*** this man up. You don't understand. I'm going to f*** him up. You don't know what I've been training like. You don't know the vision I have. You do not know. I'm on fire. I'm on fire. I'm on fire. I'll break this whole thing right now. That's how I'm fire. I'm strong. I'm strong. I'm strong. Strong. And I'm louder than that whole team. They got like five people there. Look how loud. Woo! We couldn't hear you.
Yo. What?
And that wasn't even the worst. He said a prayer and then started talking about he wanted to hook up with one of their moms.
Yeah, no.
And then he started talking about. Okay, let's hear that, Figgy.
Hey, where's your mom at, baby? Where's your mom? Oh, I'm gonna go flirt with your mama. Ooh, she about to be fine as. Yeah, I want some of your mama. I want your mama now. Your mama probably in my DMs. Yeah, you mother. Don't talk about my mom. I'll you up. Yeah, that fear coming in your mouth like a. Dog, I put my in your mouth.
Ryan, what's up, Ryan?
Hey, pause. No Diddy.
Something's wrong with this motherfucker.
You can't say pause and no Diddy after you talk about actually
doing the things that you're pausing and no like, Diddy.
That's not how that works.
That does not work there, it's, sir.
The pause, no Diddy usually refers to phrasing, not your literal actual words.
Yeah,
in
not
context
you literally
of what
you just
mean.
Said exactly what it is. That guy's nuts. Don't know. I'm not going to buy the fight, but I'll definitely see if he won or not. Coming up, the former teammates of Stephon Diggs speak, plus Nick Caserio's biggest threat, one of the biggest threats to the Texans, another GM. He was farting as he spoke, and this is not an exaggeration. The hits are lit next.
Sports Radio 610 presents live from the LPGA Chevron Championship. It's In the Loop with John Lopez and Landry Locker.
All right, let's play the hits here on In the Loop on Sports Radio 610.
Playing all the hits. These are the hot stories of the day. You're listening to In the Loop with Houston's sports leader, Sports Radio 610.
All right, let's hear what Stephon Diggs, former coach, GM, and quarterback had to say. We'll actually hear from the GM when we go around the NFL a little bit later on. But this was Josh Allen, quarterback for the Buffalo Bills. He was asked about Stephon Diggs, whether he's going to miss him, and the impact that Diggs had, not just on the Bills, but on his career as a whole. Here's what Josh Allen had to say about new Texans wide receiver Stephon Diggs.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely hard to part ways with a guy that's been very instrumental in our success here over the last 4 years. And again, I can't thank him enough for when he came in and how hard he worked and what he taught me along the years. And obviously, I wish we can keep everybody. We've made a lot of changes this offseason, lost a lot of veteran leadership, Steph being one of them. I guess that's the nature of the business. And going into year 7 now, it's just kind of is what it is. You know, I don't get paid to make changes on the team. I get paid to be the best quarterback that I can be and try to lead the guys on this team.
Have you spoke with Steph since the move was made?
Yeah, I shared a text with him and got one back and just thanking him for everything that he did for me and always have a spot in my heart for him. And I'll always love that guy like a brother and, you know, wish him nothing but the best.
Okay, that's Josh Allen talking about Diggs.
You got your brother. Yeah. You just didn't get it where you thought you were going to get it from, but you got a brother.
Yeah, well, I mean, the GM had an interesting thing to say. We'll hear from Mr. Bean, Brandon Bean, at 1. I find it hard to believe that Josh Allen didn't at least have a role in this, but I'll let you decide for yourself at 1 when we go around the NFL. Sean McDermott, the alleged 9/11 referencer, head coach of the Buffalo Bills. Here was Sean McDermott talking about new Texans wide receiver Stephon Diggs.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard, right? Steph's a great player. Really enjoyed our time together. Won a lot of games, and he was a huge factor in winning those games. I think the, you know, we'll miss him. You never replace a player like Steph Diggs, and we wish him well, Steph and his family. So, hard to move on from a player like that, and now we go back to you know, looking at our roster and excited for the opportunity that we have in that room for guys to step up.
Is he though?
This is a make or break. This is definitely not a this is definitely not a situation where if this doesn't play out, regardless, I think this is McDermott's make or break year. They've been in a certain area for a long time. And at this point, I don't think, you know, just getting to the divisional round or whatever is going to be enough. Sometimes change needs to be made, even if there is a decent level of success. And I think McDermott could be flirting with that.
Yeah, but like at what point do you decide or determine that you've reached your peak? Like, what does the peak look like? You know, even his comments there where he's like, I'm excited about, like, even you're excited about coaching lesser players, about coaching a less talented group. You know, you look at what they've lost on the defensive side, on top of this whole Stephon Diggs thing, and Gabe Davis is gone. Like, you are a lesser football team. That is not an exciting thing, and you weren't able to get it done when you were better. So, I mean, it's just hard to believe that they're going to be able to compensate for what they lost, on top of the fact that they hadn't been able to knock down the door to begin with. So, yeah, no, I think this is it. This is the swan song, if you can even call it that, because it'll be probably looked at as, you know, an entertaining little error for them, but ultimately a disappointment.
Well, they're used to it because their ultimate level of success is losing four straight Super Bowls, which depending on how you look at that, that's So I mean, it's a lesser version of what their the identity of that franchise is when you ask people outside of Buffalo. The Hardo and the Fardo. Here is Nick Caserio, general manager of the Houston Texans, laying out the draft, which is 6 days from today, 7 days away from when Caserio has his first pick.
Okay, we have nine picks. We'll see if that changes or stays static, but it's given our history, it'll probably change at some point. Try to add the right people with the right mindset. We're not for everybody. Everybody's not for us, and that's okay. You know, we're just looking for the right people with the right mindset, that are right fit, that, you know, we think can help us win football games. So not to oversimplify it, but yeah, that's the goal.
Yeah, thank you, sir. Meanwhile, in Jacksonville, I thought this was a joke, but this really happened. This is their general manager, Trent Baalke, the man who once upon a time ago passed on Aiden Hutchinson, number one overall. Once upon a time ago, Jags fans were putting pictures of him as a clown as their profile picture. So many still have it. This was him laying out his draft plan, and my man passes gas while he's doing this, and he even says, excuse me, after it happens.
Still got a couple of days going through. Coach and I haven't sat down and gone through the final board yet.
Is this guy serious?
I mean, I will say on the excuse me part, that one was loud enough. He better say excuse me. Anybody in here pass gas that loud, you better say at least say excuse me or run up out of here or something.
Aren't you just supposed to act like nothing happened?
No. That's improper. You see, you pass gas, you say excuse me. Passing gas is natural, okay? But the proper thing to do when you do so is say excuse me, as embarrassing as it might be. You don't just be sitting up, hey, oh, hey man, my bad. If I do it right, I'm sitting here eating macaroni and beans right now. If an hour and a half from now I let one go, I'm gonna say, hey man, my bad.
Yeah, just let it go.
Hey man, my bad. Nah, no, I'm not gonna let that go.
I blame Matt
or that. Hey, somebody has to answer for this. What? Hey, what's that?
He just said excuse me and kept going, man. He's never gonna escape this.
He won't. You're right.
Excuse me, going through the final.
He won't escape it. But I respect it though. Cause I would have either started laughing or I would have been in bed. Like, I don't know how I would have handled that moment. I'm glad that in any public speaking arrangement, I've never at least audibly passed gas.
Well, I just kind of feel like you should be able to hold it in, man.
Yeah, that too.
Yeah, like that's.
I've never been able to hold it in.
Is this guy
either
just walking around the building doing this around players and coaches and stuff like that?
That's what I'm saying.
I get when you're in a certain situation. I guess some guys will get comfortable enough to just let them fly, but. At this point, man, you're sitting up there with the media. You can't hold it in.
That one was
walk away.
That one was saying. I wonder too. Like, man, that one was a little too long to be an accident. Like, if you accidentally let one up, you're gonna catch it as soon as it happened, and it's not gonna go. You know what I'm saying? It's gonna go, and then you're gonna be, oh, whoa, hey, my bad, man. You know what I'm saying? Like, you don't do a long enough fart like that and not know that it's coming. He should have been able to hold that unless he's sick or something.
Pretty ridiculous. Justin Verlander on the mound tonight against the Washington Nationals. Astros currently 6-14. Verlander making his debut this year, age of 41. Astros in a weird spot. B. Scott, I think, being a little bit dramatic about this series.
Yeah,
though.
I just feel like it's not a given. I don't like being in the position where it used to be. I had the gimme games. You look at the schedule, you start checking boxes. You're like, okay, they might not sweep this team, but they should win this series. They should win that series. And I don't feel like that with the Astros right now. Like, I still believe in the top end of their talent, but based off of the way that they're playing baseball right now, I feel bad that I can't go into a national series and just automatically chalk it up as a dub. I feel bad. I wish I could. I would like to. Are you confident that they're going to win this series?
No, I mean, absolutely not at all. But I don't think it's
not a good feeling.
If it doesn't happen, it's, you know, it is what it is. I won't lose in any more or less hope than I had heading into it, if whatever the hell that says about me. This might be the most honest pitcher ever. This is Pete Fairbanks of the Tampa Bay Rays. He's a relief pitcher. He's been struggling a little bit. He was asked about his struggles, and this is what he had to say.
just a matter of command, location, selection, anything specific?
No, I thought it generally sucked. I didn't think it was a specific suck. I thought it was like an all-encompassing type of suck. So, you know, we're going to try and rectify that. But for right now, I'm going to be pretty pissed about it.
Where do you kind of go from here? Is it looking at tape? Is it going through mechanics? Where do you kind of go from here?
You tell me. I've tried that. If you got an answer, I'd love to hear. Just, you know.
Damn.
Not going to let it beat me up for, you know, I'll maybe give it till 10. It's 9:44 right now. We'll give it 16 minutes of salt, and then we'll, you know, get back on the bump and figure it out.
All right. There you go. Best of luck to you, my friend. That's a lot of honesty. I know that once you get in your own head as a reliever, it can be hard to climb out, but.
Yeah,
there's some accountability right there.
There's accountability. There's a little comedy in there with him saying, you know, it's a variations of suck. But man, I sympathize because I can sense the agony, man. Like, I don't think he's just putting on a show there. He is legitimately feeling like he's kind of got to start from zero. Kind of got to start over.
Business that I'm glad that I'm not in anymore. And we'll know the answer to this question a week from today. The report that Jaden Daniels is going to be the pick for the Washington Commanders at 2.
Yeah.
Adam Schefter basically said, not basically, he said that, yeah, you can start buying your Jaden Daniels Washington jerseys.
He's better.
I mean, that's what he said?
Yeah, he's better. He makes sense.
But then the betting odds are now even with Jaden Daniels and Drake May. So they're having to, in Washington, New England, they're having to partake in this top of the draft quarterback betting ranking game, which I can't really frown upon too much because that was part of our life last season. But it is nice to be out of that business where you're not sitting there saying, oh, my gosh, is it going to be this guy? Oh, is it going to be a quarterback at all? Oh, look at the betting odds. The betting odds are shifting. Kind of nice to be able to point in the other direction of other organizations and not be partaking in that. Like they have to.
For sure. No doubt about it. I do find it interesting that like the slight difference between this draft and the quarterback conversation and, you know, the draft that we're talking about with C.J. Stroud last year in the quarterback conversation. It's really like that one was a conversation at one. Who do you take, Bryce or C.J.? Bryce or C.J.? Most people were team Bryce. I know you were. I know I was. I kind of flip-flopped at times. I like C.J. I like Bryce. I liked all the damn quarterbacks. That's the problem with me in the draft. Hell, I like everybody. Let's draft them all. But the difference is now is that it's at 2. Because nobody – Caleb Williams can bust. But I don't think anybody can validly criticize the Chicago Bears for making that pick because it does feel like
you got to do it.
It feels like the obvious decision. But at 2, that's where the discussion is going to be interesting, the way the discussion was interesting at 1 last year. Drake May versus Jaden Daniels, which way do you go? And the feeling that, you know, if you get it wrong, that's obviously could be a, you know, just monumental moment in a GM's history.
For me, like, though, the biggest difference is last year, there were different times when you thought it was going to be CJ, then you thought it was going to be Bryce. So you almost thought that sitting at 2, you were at the mercy of what they did at 1, and whichever one they didn't take, you took.
Right.
Which I think kind of happened with the Texans, lucky or not, and thank God that it did, at least up to this point. But here, like, they haven't even been able to shape their lips and entertain the possibility of it not being Caleb Williams.
Right.
I mean, you can dissect it, but there was never a point where you're like, all right, well, the Bears might do this.
No, that's ridiculous. No, of course not. And that's why the intrigue starts at 2, because you're never going to – you'll always be able to debate one from last year, and so far CJ and the Texans are winning that debate. But the debate is always going to start at 2 based off of, you know, what Caleb Williams had done and just – basic and plain logic. If he busts, then it's too bad, but it won't be a thing that you like criticize the Bears for. I don't think you can validly do that.
Coming up, Hardo Caserio. Nick Caserio was as snappy as we've seen him as Texans GM. Which displays of hardness were justifiable and which were unjustifiable? It's discussed next.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.